Welcome to the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show. Join Alec, Chris, Gary, and Will as we adventure into a basement in Richfield and review the games you love, drink the beers you crave, and brave the bourbons you seek. Made locally in Minnesota. Welcome to our show. Welcome back to Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games. This is going to be part one of a two-part on-the-road episode for our team. So grab a cold one and kick back as Gary, Alec, and myself join Derek, the head brewer of Unmapped Brewing, for a game of Doctor Who Flux by Looney Labs. We chat about their October 16th Flannel Roots Fall Festival and a new style of beer called Cold Pale Ale. We also sample Flannel Roots Fall Lager and Path of Souls Dark Ale. So thanks for joining us for all this and more on Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games. All right, so we are here on our very first Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games, what do we want to call it, road trip?
A brew trip?
A brew trip. Okay, I'm down for a brew trip. We are here at what has always been one of my favorite breweries in Minnesota. By far and away, if you were to ask me to list my top five, this one would have to be in that list, and I've been to almost all of them. I am here with Derek, head brewer of Unmapped Brewing. It is an honor to be here, sir. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Well, thank you, and thank you for the kind words. That just blesses my heart. I love hearing good things about us. I can tell that you're sincere, and I appreciate that. Like I said, my name's Derek. I'm the head brewer here at Unmapped Brewing. We are about 4 years old, just a little bit over 4 years old. Located in Minnetonka, Minnesota, in the Glen Lake neighborhood, just west of 494 on Excelsior Boulevard.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the brewery?
Yeah, I can tell you all about it because I started here since before day one. We acquired the property in January of 2017, broke ground, got to create the place from the ground up. We opened in June of 2017. Our owners, JD and Megan Park, this is their brainchild. They came up with this. Megan is a graduate of Minnetonka High School. She grew up here in Minnetonka, school in South Carolina, where she met JD, her husband, and they moved back to the Minnesota area after college and pursued careers in the professional industries, and they just got this itch to start their own business, and they thought about a few things. They thought maybe even a cupcake shop would be something that they might want to do, and it just never pursued it to the extent that beer interested them. And
I'm glad they went that direction, because I would take beer over a cupcake any day.
Any day, absolutely.
I agree.
So, I mean, as head brewer, you have to have a lot of say in kind of the signature style that Unmapped has, but you guys are so good at so many different varieties of beer. I don't think all the beers I've ever had here have been very good or higher.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot, because I consider myself a traditional brewer. I started brewing as a home brewer, and as a home brewer, I got into competition angle. And in competitions, you have to brew to style, because that's what the judges are looking for. And I did that, and I enjoyed the style. In fact, the reason I got into brewing was because I traveled to another country and discovered how beer was made over there, and I searched out those beers when I came back home and couldn't find them, and I realized I had to make them myself. I've kind of pigeonholed myself to be a traditional brewer, but I feel like I've kind of spread my wings a little bit here.
No. Sorry, I got to interrupt you here. I'm drinking, so if I remember right, this is a ginger habanero beer, and you're calling that a traditional style?
No. Not at all. The fact that we are making that means that I've been challenged, and that's what I love about making beer, is that there's no limitations. There really isn't. You know, there are traditional styles, and we've been, you know, the world has been making them for a long time. But I feel like, and maybe this is just because I live in America, but I feel like America has always been pushing traditional styles to become something different, at least in the craft beer scene. The fact that we have grown to require extra help, and I'm not back here by myself. I'm surrounded by some really great employees that have ideas of their own that have pushed us to try different things. And then the simple fact, one of the things that we love to say around here is we don't make beer for a living, we sell beer for a living. So you can make all the beer that you want to make in the world, but if nobody buys it, you're not going to stay open. So we are challenged, pushed, encouraged to brew styles that the consumer is going to buy. And that has pushed us to do things that me personally have never been encouraged or pushed to do. The biggest example I can come up with is a hazy IPA. That is a style that was far more popular than
it ever should have been. I'm sorry, I said it.
Maybe so. Maybe my feelings are exactly the same way, which is why we never did it. Because they're so popular, we said, you know what, people are going to buy this. We got to make the style. So it challenged us to spread our wings and become more widespread brewers to make something that we haven't had a lot of experience making. Like, we were taught in brewing school to produce beer where the sediment settles out because people drink with their eyes. They want it to be clear. People like drinking clear beer. And now you're telling me we have to make a beer that has to stay hazy for a long time? That's against everything that I've ever been taught. And to be able to learn how to brew backwards was a bit of a challenge, but I think it makes you a better brewer. If you know what happens when you do certain things to a beer, that just helps you reproduce it.
What's the biggest challenge you find as a brewer? I know we were talking about water quality earlier, so I'm just kind of curious, is that yet?
For me, that is, you know, going back to the Reinhardt's Gebot, there's four main ingredients. We're not, thank goodness, we're not held to those here, but the four main ingredients in beer being malted barley, water, hops, and yeast. Of those four, to me personally, and I think a lot of people would feel the same way as far as professional brewers go, the most challenging to me is water chemistry, because it's not linear. It's not like, oh, you got this much, you got to change this. pH is a logarithmic scale, so you can't just change it a little bit and it'll do this. And if you added X percent of this, you add double it, it'll do this. No, it doesn't work that way. And temporary hardness, permanent hardness, all this, that's been the biggest challenge. And that's where I've had forced myself to learn a little bit more about that segment of it. Malted barley, hops, all of that is, they're seasonal, and I think that's a challenge in and of itself, because growing seasons change. This year was a big example of what can happen with the growing season, with the drought that we had. There was a heat dome out in the west, so hops are going to be a little bit different next year. Depending on where the malt was grown this year, you could see definite changes in that. We're seeing the pandemic, we're seeing all sorts of changes, from the cost of shipping to related supply chain and stuff like that. So those are some challenges that we're facing right now. But for me, water chemistry is just one of those things that my brain has a hard time comprehending. It's not one of those things that just makes sense to me. And that's something that I'm really challenged to, but that's something that I'm interested in because of that.
Okay, so I'm not going to be a cruel person and say, you know, what's your favorite beer? Because I know they're all kind of like your children in some way, shape, or form. But I'm going to ask, what is your favorite beer to brew? Like, what gives you that challenge? What makes you wake up in the morning? Which style of beer do you really just enjoy just getting down and dirty with?
Yeah, no, you're right. To ask a brewer what his favorite beer to make is like asking him which child is his favorite. But I love brewing light beers, and that's not popular amongst consumers, but I think it's very popular amongst brewers. We make some lagers here, and we call them brewer beers because those are the beers that brewers gravitate towards, but not necessarily the mass consumers. Anytime I travel to a new area or even a new brewery, I will order their lightest beer on the menu because it helps me gauge the quality or the ability of the brewer in that location, which helps influence what I'm going to spend my hard-earned money on next. You know, anyone can brew an imperial stout and hide all sorts of flaws in there. Anyone can make a double IPA and throw just a ton of hops in there and hide any flaws that might happen. But you make a light lager, whether it's a Pilsner, whether it's a Helles, a Kolsch.
Yeah, you screw one of those up, and I mean,
it shines. Yeah, the flaws shine through. And
I can even,
I'm not rooting for anyone to fail, but I want to know what the quality is right off the bat. And I love drinking those styles. I mean, I'm drinking a lager right now, and before this, I was drinking another lager. And
this Pilsner, by the way, is delicious.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate when people comment on our lighter beers positively more than our darker, heavier, hoppier beers for that exact reason, because it's hard to hide flaws in those. You know, diacetyl is a big thing that,
oh, huge,
that people can pick up, and you know, the average consumer can pick it up whether they know what it is or not, but they can get it. And that's something that really comes out in lagers just because of the way they're fermented a little bit cooler. When people compliment us on our lagers, it feels good. Really does. And that's the challenge.
Fascinated by all the casks you have around here, and you said something about a barley wine coming up, and that's going to be coming in December. You said you had all of them.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before while we were setting up offline. We've got a couple of barrel-aged beers coming up in the near future. One of them is our Wicked Pumpkin Imperial Amber, which was brewed about a year ago and put into bourbon barrels. I'm trying to remember the distillery, and I can't right off the hand. I apologize. Check our website for more information. And that will be coming out first of the next two, probably at the end of October. And I think I told you December for the next one, but I think it's going to be, I did some more research, middle of November, and that's going to be our barley wine that we brewed in January of 2020. And that was put into, again, bourbon. bourbon barrels. So it's been 17, 18 months in there, and that'll come out in middle of November. But that's a late watch barley wine is our house barley wine, if you will. It's been in bourbon barrels for quite some time. And I'll tell you, it's really good unbarrel aged, so I'm really looking forward to see what happens.
What about horseradish?
Horseradish? Well, see, I'm a bit of a Bloody Mary aficionado, so
I mean,
you talk about drinking vegetables. You pour me a glass of V8 with vodka, I'll drink that all day. horseradish, dump that in there, a little Worcestershire, absolutely.
You know, we were talking about bloody beers earlier, so any chance we might see one of those in the near future? Have I tickled your fancy enough with my research?
You know, I love that idea. One of our investors here makes his own Bloody Mary mix, and apparently he got first place yesterday in the Twin Cities Bloody Mary Festival. I'm trying to get more details. I don't know if it was first place in his category or overall. It's a good mix. I've had it before. But I think by law, we're allowed to pour Bloody Mary mix into someone's beer, and I would love to start a Sunday morning thing.
Everybody else does. Lodonia Cerveza does it.
Okay. It must be legal then.
Blacklist does it up in Duluth.
Okay.
And then, like we were talking about, Bobbing Bobber did it yesterday.
So. I mean, let's open the brewery an hour earlier on Sundays and just pour bloody beers and have people come in and get their Sunday fun day on.
You heard it here, folks, on Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games. Unmapped is getting bloody beers in the near future. If you want me to cut that out, I will.
No. Just add fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
I don't make that decision. I would encourage it, but...
No need to have a beer as a side with the Bloody Mary. You can have the Bloody Mary in the beer.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't need to be a beer bag. Just beer in.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about some of your fall beers here.
Sure.
And also, Gary here, being our eponymous game master. Is that the right word, eponymous? Does that work?
As long as it's not hippopotamus.
Okay, yeah. our eponymous game master here has brought flux. So I think we should try some of your fall beers here and talk about them as we play a little game of flux.
Absolutely, I love it.
Gary, do you want to talk to us about the rules of flux here?
There is a basic rule to flux. It's draw one, play one, and then the game changes immeasurably from there.
There's also a secondary rule you're forgetting, which is have fun.
Well, yes, but that's always the most important
rule. Dang it, I'm out already.
So... today we're going to be playing Flux. That's F-L-U-X-X. It's a card game published by Looney Labs and is an award winner in its time. I don't know exactly when it won that award, but it did. You will see Flux at various game stores with different flavorings to it, if you will. There's the base game of Flux, which I encourage you to get, but there's also a number of different themed variants for it. Today we're actually playing the Doctor Who version of Flux. But there are innumerable others that you can get into. I drew out a few cards just to show you that there's a number of different ones. There are action cards, keeper cards, new rules, surprise cards, goal cards, and there's creeper cards floating around, which are bad things. When a new rule comes up, you have the option to play it. You never have to play a card that you don't want to unless you have something that tells you you have to play a card. Once you play a rule, it changes the rules of the game, and everything from then on goes by the new rule.
All right.
So this is a great game to play. It's pretty light by all means. I've played many a game with my kids with this, and it's just fun all around. So
I really enjoyed this game. I know you brought it. You introduced it to me at one of our very first annual cabin weekends, and I had always had a trouble playing a lot of the games because of the fact that I was in the kitchen a lot of the time, and a lot of my time was taken up hosting. And you whipped this game out, and you were just like, here, we can play this in 15 minutes. And we ended up playing this quite a bit of time because it fit really well into my schedule.
Yep. It's very light. You can start a game if somebody wants to join after you started. You just deal them three cards, and they join in the play.
I like this game. It sounds fun because it sounds like it plays itself.
So it does. And to start the game, I'm going to start playing just because whoever declares they want to start, starts.
Oh, so it's kind of like Munchkin, where you roll a die and then argue over who goes first.
And there's far less arguing, but you could throw down if you wanted to. So I'm draw one, and I'm going to play one, and I'm going to play a keeper, which these are winning conditions. So if you have various keepers on the table, and there's a winning condition card out, and you meet that, you automatically win the game. And since I played my own card, it goes to Will.
I'm gonna play the eighth doctor.
Draw one. Oh, failed the first rule.
Yeah. So three. Draw one, play one.
All right.
So you drew and played, just in the wrong order.
Yeah,
all right. Yep. So I need to draw one first.
Yep. Correct.
And now I need to play one.
And you can't actually win the game right now because there was no goal card to win with.
That's what the pink cards are for.
Yep.
So the goal card tells the holder of the gold
card? The gold card is placed in front and is now the in condition for the game until somebody changes the goal.
Is it good form to play a gold card
if you
early?
Want,
there is
you.
No good form. Yep. This is play what you think will be
this
fun.
This game will get chaotic really fast. So just
we're playing it, so I'm just going to play it.
All right. Go for it. So the goal is now the Master's Keeper. If you have both of these conditions, you win the game.
When you say both of these conditions, does it mean both of these cards?
Both keepers.
These are keepers that you would have to have in front of you.
So you would have you would have one for the Master and one for the TARDIS.
And I will play the Fifth Doctor, which is an additional keeper.
All right. So I drew my card, and I'm going to play another keeper of the Ninth Doctor. Nobody has a winning condition yet, so...
No, there is a winning condition, but nobody's won yet.
Nobody's won yet.
So if I got a creeper, how does that work again?
Play that immediately.
But does it go into my zone?
It goes into your zone. Sometimes you can move them to other people's zones.
And I redraw.
And you redraw.
And I will play the TARDIS.
And what does the creeper do?
The creeper prevents you oftentimes from winning unless you meet the conditions of the creeper.
What is the condition on the creeper?
What are the Cybermen up to?
You can't win if you have this unless the goal says otherwise. So like there are certain goals that have three Cybermen in play.
Right.
So that would be, you could still win with them. But as of this point, even if I got the Master, I can't win the game until I ditch the Cybermen.
All right, I already screwed up because I have a creeper and I didn't read the part about play immediately.
No problem.
Do I play that now?
Yeah,
no, play it now. Play it now.
But I need to draw first?
Yep.
Yeah, we'll give you a replacement.
And now you need to draw one for your draw.
Right. We're helping you catch back up in the game.
Yes.
So he has a Dalek on the table.
Exterminate!
If the Doctor is anywhere on the table during your turn, you can discard both him and this.
Yep. So you can use that creeper to get rid of any of the Doctors in play and discard it.
There is currently two Doctors, if you'd like to do
three.
That.
Three Doctors.
The Fifth Doctor, the Eighth Doctor,
and
the Ninth Doctor. Is that my call?
That's your call.
I'm not sure what the effect of that would have on me or the people holding them.
So, as it stands right now, if somebody plays the goal for the fifth, the Eighth Doctor and the TARDIS, Will would win. Same thing if Riversong and the Ninth Doctor is on the goal card, Gary would win.
So, and since the goal is the Masters and the TARDIS, I might want to get rid of that Eighth Doctor over there?
Or the TARDIS.
You can't get rid of the TARDIS. Yeah, it's just the Doctor.
Okay. Sorry, Will, I'm going to get rid of the Eighth Doctor.
So then this gets put into the discard.
It's always best to pick on people you know.
All right.
And then you can still play one.
So I need to only have three cards in my hand?
At the end of your turn, yes. Unless something changes.
It's draw one, play one, but creepers are kind of a special exception to it. So you still have your play one in effect.
Well, I'm going to play a keeper. I'm going to play Captain Jack Harkness.
All right.
I will draw.
So while these other guys are taking their turn right now, why don't we talk about this cold pale ale? So I've never heard of a cold pale ale before. This is kind of a unique substyle for me. Can you tell me what the difference is and what I should be looking for in the flavors?
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, so the cold pale ale is our kind of twist on the cold IPA, which is a very new style that's just evolving right now. It was developed and invented, if you want to say that, out in Portland by Wayfinder Brewing Company. They are a traditional lager brewing company, and they recognized the haze craze and wanted to kind of make the antithesis of that. And they, so what they did is they made a lager. Theirs is actually an adjunct lager. This is the grist recipe for this beer is more our pils beer, so it's all malt. But the cold IPA is basically a lager that is fermented warm and dry hopped cold, which is exactly what we did. I shouldn't say even a lot of times, because this is a brand new style and it hasn't been made that much. It was something that I read about in a magazine, and I thought that it would be something fun that we could make because it isn't popular and people would maybe be interested in it and talk about it.
It definitely has way more lager notes than I would expect from a normal pale ale. In fact, this would be a good introduction into the pale ale world for those people who are into like the pilsners and the lagers and the golden ales.
Yeah, the result of this style is that it doesn't have a lot of those fruity esters that an ale would give off, nor does it have the massive hop aromas that a typical IPA would have. But it does have kind of the best of both worlds. It's got some of those great hop aromas with that clean crispness of a lager. That's ultimately the goal. We dry hop this at 32 degrees, and it's amazing how insane amount of hops we used to get just what you're tasting right now. That same amount dry hopped warm would have produced a lot more aromatics, So, you know, being a new style, it's more of an experiment than anything. But that was kind of the goal, is to, you know, we learned about this new style and we thought we'd give it a shot. And we fermented our, let's just say we fermented our Pilsner with our Pilsner yeast at ale temperatures. And then we dry hopped it cold.
It's amazing. It's really good. Nice, crisp, refreshing.
I like it. I'm drinking a lot of it right now. It is. It's very approachable. It's very drinkable. Like I said, it's the best of both worlds. Like I said earlier in the show, I drink a lot of lagers right now because I love that crisp cleanness, the way it finishes. It finishes dry. It doesn't leave, you know, a coating on your tongue, but you get that great hop character that you would enjoy in an IPA or a pale ale.
Gary, any thoughts on the beer?
Yeah, actually, I'm not a big fan of the IPA, EPA end of things, but this is very approachable. It's very much kind of drawing on that lager initial taste and kind of brings in the other flavors nicely.
Great. I appreciate your guys' feedback.
I could easily drink a couple of these without too much trouble.
Right on.
Derek, I believe it's your turn here.
No, we've had a couple of changes. A few more keepers have been played, and the goal has changed because I played a goal that changed.
Okay, so you play a goal on top of a goal, it just changes? Okay.
Yep, correct.
Is there any prerequisite for that?
Nope. You just play a goal.
Just have one, and so my next move, I have three cards in my hand, is to draw a card.
Draw a card, correct.
Correct. And you can have any number of cards in your hand, including no cards.
Depending on the basic rules.
Yeah, the rules will change the math.
Yes.
Okay. Can I phone a friend?
Yes.
Sure.
I've got a new rule, two actions, and a goal.
Play the new rule.
Yeah, we haven't had a new rule yet, so let's get that one out there.
Do I put it on top of that goal or put it in front of me?
Right on top of the new rule.
Well, let's see what the new rule is.
Get on with it.
Yes.
Before your final play, if you are not empty-handed, you may discard your entire hand and draw three cards. Your turn then ends immediately.
That, unfortunately, was your final play, so you don't get to pick that option. But there will be other options to play two, play three, play four, and essentially allows you to dump your hand and get a new one.
Okay.
I will then play the... Hey, you know what? I'm just going to ditch my hand and draw three cards.
Oh, okay. So there you go. I'm going to draw one.
I just want you guys to know that if I don't win this, I'm going to take my microphone and go home.
We now have a new rule in play, play four, where you have to play four if you... or all your hand if you don't have it. So, first things first, Martha Joan goes into play, goal changes, and I play a surprise. During your turn, discard your choice of up to two new rules currently in play, so I will discard both of these rules as I veto them.
What a jerk. All right, so we're back to the base rules here now, right?
Yep. This is the fluidity of flux. You adapt or die.
Is it wrong that all I think about right now is Back to the Future? Where's the capacitor?
You know what really is fun is I just discarded the dog for the new ghoul role.
So, Derek, you get to draw one and play one.
I'm going to play an action because I'm heavy.
Go for it.
Does that go right here?
It actually gets played into the discard, but we what do the your... action and then discard.
I'm going to move a creeper.
Ooh, okay. So you can stick that anywhere you would like to.
Let me just read the rules here. Move any creeper from in front of any player to be in front of any other player. So I only see one creeper in front of one player. So I'm going to move that one. Mm-hmm. And that creeper is the...
Cyberman.
Cyberman. Is it my goal to prevent someone else from winning?
It can be.
It can be.
Can I ask another question?
Please.
Yeah.
Would
absolutely.
That creeper help me win? Or help someone else lose?
Not at this time. Right now probably okay just sitting in my place.
If there were more Cybermen on the table, there would be a potential win condition, but
right.
There are not.
Just for the sake of moving that card, I'm going to put it in front of Alec.
All right.
Simply because alphabetically, you come first. Does anybody know what hops are in this beer? And I'd be surprised if anybody did, but I would love to share. It's Mosaic, Simcoe, Sots, which is a traditional lager hop, and some Brew One, which is kind of a newer age American hop.
So,
what happened?
I am putting a new rule into play, which is Along Z. Once during your turn, you may take the top card from the draw pile and replay it immediately. Repeat if it's a creeper. This is not a free action and does not count as a draw or play. So now I get to play the top card as well, which is now we can play two. So we now have two rules, which is play two cards and new rule of maximum hand size of one.
So everybody discards down to one card.
Immediately?
Immediately.
Yep. All right.
I have no cards.
That's because you're cheating.
All my cards are under the table.
I would say up your sleeves, but you don't have any sleeves today.
Oh. All right, so I'm going to do draw one, play.
You can play the top. Two. You can draw the top card as well for.
Yep,
once
and
per
I can
turn.
Do that at any time. So I will do that. Allons-y. And the goal goes into effect immediately since you have to play the card. I will then play my card, and my hand limit is still down to zero. I'm done.
You can play that second card if you want.
I don't have a second. Okay, so the hand limit of one goes away.
You get a free play on the top if you want.
I'll do it.
All right.
That's not what I wanted. Can I do another one? All right, so that takes the new goal.
That actually puts you at a state of possibly winning here.
And I'm going to use my TARDIS to take another turn.
All right.
Drawn one.
Play two.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the top card.
You get a rose.
I'm going to play the Future Doctor, and since I still have to play another one because of the play two, I will switch it out to that one.
All right, man. All you need is a TARDIS, and you win.
Because I have the Jack Harkness?
Yep. No, I'm sorry.
I need a doctor?
You need a doctor.
You need a doctor, yep.
Any doctor.
Any doctor will do. So draw a card.
That's right, I have to draw.
You get
free top card. Okay. I'll take it.
That gets played on the table immediately.
You have to play that immediately.
This one, okay.
Yep.
It's a goal, so that changes the...
Yep, correct.
Unfortunately, it does.
So that means I don't get to win.
No, I'm going to cancel that.
All right, get a cancel card.
All right. Since, you gave me this good brew.
How did you do that?
I have a card called...
An action card.
Surprise, cancel plans.
Okay.
Which allows me to change, prevent a goal from changing.
How do you...
And now you have to...
I have an action card, and I'd like to steal something that will help me win.
Go ahead. Play it.
How do I do that?
You just play it.
I'm going to steal a doctor. Any doctor. You just got. And then I play it.
And you win.
And
then
it reaches the goal.
You did it.
You won.
All right.
Hey.
Beginner's luck.
Hey. Newbies win often...
That was fun.
I think.
Did you guys have fun?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
All right.
I think we should celebrate with another beer.
All right.
Now we're going to start talking about some of your fall lineup.
Yeah. Do you want to start with the fall lager?
Okay. That's the flannel, right?
Yeah, and then I think we should finish with the Path of Souls, right?
Done deal.
Perfect. All right.
Well, you did a fine job of playing a game of Flux there, and you took all of us hardcore gamers to school there. So let's prost to that.
Prost.
So tell us a little bit about this beer.
Sure, this is our traditional Oktoberfest. The style has kind of deviated over the years between the Marzen style and a Fest style. A Fest style beer is just a kind of a lighter lager version of the Oktoberfest style. What we do is a Marzen style, a red lager. Ours is about 50-50 Pilsner Munich malt. There's a little bit of Vienna and Kara Munich splashed in, so a little bit of Caramel Munich. And this year, we haven't messed with the recipe a whole lot, but we've kind of messed with the name. It's always been Flannel Roots. One year it was Flannel Roots Marzen Lager. One year it was Flannel Roots Oktoberfest. One year it was, and I think we might have called it a Fest beer one year.
I've just taken my first sip of this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to give us the explicit tag, but... Pumpkin beers, this is fall in a cup.
Awesome, I love it.
This is delicious.
Yes, it is.
Well, cheers. Prost.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
It's super malty. The thing I love about this is how clean it is.
Yes,
and that's
super clean.
That's what I appreciate as a brewer. And anytime it comes out of our taps, I feel good about it. And I feel really good about this. But if you put Marzen Lager on a chalkboard, customers, what's a Marzen? And it really, it takes a lot of time and effort for our staff to explain what it is. And while I'm 100% in support of, craft beer education, they don't probably care about the answer. Let's just
give them
the beer and ring up the next customer. We want to make sure that everybody in the building is having as good a time as possible. And if they're waiting in line longer than they should, then they're not.
And flannel says fall.
Right. I mean, fall, it makes perfect sense, and you're going to laugh in a second. It's an Oktoberfest through and through, and we love that. And can you guys guess what happens to Oktoberfest beers in November?
They get on the discount shelf.
They die. Nobody buys Oktoberfest beers in November. An Oktoberfest beer is going to taste great in November.
Yes.
It's going to taste great in October and December.
Yeah.
It's not going to go bad fast like your IPAs, your hazies, your West Coast. From a marketing perspective, we decided to go with fall lager just in case the beer that we made didn't sell out in October. And we're having this problem, which is a good problem to have. We're actually, I don't know when this beer is, when this podcast is going to air, but we're probably going to run out of fall lager before our fall lager festival, and that's going to be in October 16th.
Yeah, we wanted to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, so Flannel Roots is the name of the beer. Flannel Roots Festival is the name of the party. That's going to be October 16th, Saturday, October 16th. Starts at 11 a.m., and it's going to go all day. We're going to have music. We're going to have outdoor. The parking lot will be shut down. We'll have beers out, you know, for sale outside, inside. Just a big old celebration of the changing of the seasons, and it's something that we've done for, this will be our fifth year, our fifth festival, and we're looking forward to it because, you know, in the last couple of years we haven't been able to throw a lot of parties, so it's going to be a good time, and we'll celebrate the beer that you're drinking right now, and we're going to celebrate fall.
Well, I hope you have plenty to go for that festival too, so, but yep. I mean, this is just delicious. This is worth the trip to the brewery alone.
Thank you.
And yep. Again, it shows your guys' laser preciseness, no off flavors. I mean, it's just, it's perfect. It is the perfect. In fact, I hope you guys have this in crawlers, because
we do.
I might need to be bringing this up to our annual cabin week.
Yeah, we do. We do have it in crawlers. We're proud to say that we rebranded this year, and our new crawlers just look amazing. They're amazing, and then the beers that are on the shelves and the liquor stores too. Come to the tap room, get a crawler, go to the liquor store, and get a six pack.
I am looking forward to having that on the deck of my cabin next weekend. With a big stogie
lid. Awesome.
So it is perfect pairing for that.
Yeah. You know, the maltiness of this beer would pair really well with a cigar.
I'm going to try to walk away with a crawler today just to warn you.
I can try and I can probably help you with that.
Some of us be willing to pay for our beer.
Oh, I'm planning on paying for this. Oh, man, that is delicious. That's probably one of the best Oktoberfests I've had in a good 2, 3, 4 years.
I love how it looks too, and I'm kind of patting my own back, but
you should break your arm.
We don't filter beer here. We do use some finings, which helps settle out some of the, you know, the sediment. But yeah, it's beautiful. Great color. Celebrate everything that needs to be celebrated.
Awesome.
I'm
going to
have
job.
Some brats with this because that just sounds awesome.
Yes.
Yep.
You know what? We have brat night on, I don't remember if it's Tuesday or Wednesday of our cabin weekend.
Perfect.
So let's do that. Brats, yep. Cigars, beer.
Perfect. Will there be a cabin weekend podcast?
Yes, there will.
I mean, all of this buildup, I need to hear about this.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going to do a recap probably on Saturday. So we have most of the people are coming up Thursday to Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday night, the beer, bourbon, board game people will be all up there. So we'll probably shoot something. We'll probably shoot something. We did last year, but it was out for my other podcast, Wandering the Weekend.
Okay.
So I think you have one more beer here for us today.
Yeah.
So are you guys ready?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
Are we ready for Path of Souls?
Path of Souls
it is. Let's walk the Path of Souls.
All right.
This is hitting the dark end of the spectrum for me. I like this.
I don't think any of these glasses are broken.
But just watch for chip glass.
Right?
As long as it's on a dribble cup, I'm okay.
Okay, so this is Path of Souls. So tell me a little bit about this beer.
Yeah, Path of Souls is it's a, kind of a special beer to me. This is a recipe that I did when I was homebrewing. I came up with this 2007, 2008 maybe, before I went to brewing school. I was trying to mimic Surly Bender. I didn't know what the recipe was, and it'll be more interesting later when I continue the story, but what I wanted to make was a really hoppy, dark brown ale. And I just used a bunch of chocolate malt and a bunch of caramel malt and then base malt and just put a ton of hops in it. So this beer I developed as a home brewer with an intention of mimicking, you know, basically a clone recipe. I made it and I poured it blindly for my family, and my brother wasn't able to tell the difference between Bender and this beer, which it made me feel good. You know, it was awesome. You know, like I said, it was 2007, 2008. 4 years later, I find myself working for Surly. So I'm making Bender, and I discovered what the recipe was, and I could not have been any more far off. It's not even close. Not even close. And what I love about that is when you're a professional brewer, a lot of people ask you about trade secrets and, you know, what do you protect when you're making beer and sharing it. I don't care. I will tell anybody, anywhere, any home brewers listening, if you like any of our beers and you want the recipe, I will give it to you. Down to the water chemistry. I've done it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want people to make good beer. I don't care what level they're doing it as. And part of the reason for that is that I know that you can make two different beers, completely different recipes, taste exactly the same. But I also know that you can take the exact same recipe and make it in two different places, and it won't be anywhere near the same. So you have nothing to, really, you have nothing to protect. And I'm not afraid of, and I don't care if someone makes something that tastes exactly like what we make here. I'm sorry, I'm getting long-winded. That's where this beer was born. fast forward to 2017, I had been professionally brewing since 2010. I made friends across industry. I met Peter Simpson from Simpson's Malting in England, and Simpson's makes some of the best malt that you can get. And I remember one specific event where I brought a all Simpson's beer to share it with him and some of his family at an industry event. And I could just tell when he drank it, it was a Imperial Stout that I made at Excelsior Brewing. I could tell when he drank it that he sincerely enjoyed it and he liked it. As someone who was, until that point, only making other people's beers, it felt good because this was my recipe and I used their malt. He sadly passed away a couple years later from a really quick cancer. Path of Souls is an Ojibwe belief or history that when you die, you walk the Path of Souls to the afterlife. And that's why we named this beer that. This beer is 100% Simpson's malt, and we made it because we love the beer, but we made it in honor of Peter Simpson, and it's all Simpson's malt. That's kind of the story behind it. We make it every year, and we donate money to pancreatic cancer in foundation in Scotland, actually, to benefit the people that are trying to eliminate this from happening to people. So
that's an amazing story.
Glad to share it.
Walk the Path of Souls. It's well worth the while.
You said it best.
Cheers, guys.
Pro,
cheers.
Yeah, super sessionable, very light, crisp.
I love, so this doesn't have any dry hops. It's just a massive amount of Whirlpool hops, which is what gives it that finish, that aroma, which I wouldn't say stouts and porters are missing, but it's what separates it from the rest of the darker beers, is that just massive aroma addition.
Officially, just, what style is this?
I don't think there is a style. American Brown Ale.
What's it listed under Untappd? American Brown Ale?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's better if you just ignore Untappd. but someone should check that out and see what it is. I think it's an American Brown Ale. So we do make it. We've probably made it 4 times in 5 years. When it's going to be made, I don't know.
Dark ale.
Dark ale? Okay.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
You know, and one thing is, a lot of people consider this a black IPA, but it's not. In my opinion, a black IPA is a beer that looks black but tastes like an IPA.
Yes.
That was
yes.
never the goal here.
Yep. Right.
This was never the goal. It should taste like a dark beer.
No,
it does, just, indeed.
This is
just
like
hoppy.
This is like a perfect combination between like a stout, a porter, and a brown ale.
Yeah.
I mean, it like really walks the line between all three styles.
And it does it without being really heavy, too, which is really nice.
Yeah, like I said, super sessionable.
Drinkable. Mouthfeel is very clean. Doesn't linger.
Another beer worthy of a cigar. I could see two or three of these
or
and
just
still
drinking.
Not having a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you get some dark beers and it's one or two and you're done. This one, I could drink it all day.
It's one of those dark beers you can have more than one of.
Yes, which is a hard thing to do, I
think. I agree. The risk of sounding pretentious, what we like to do here is we like to make good beer, but we invite the public for opinion. And if anything that we can do better, help us, you know, let us know what you like and what you want. I don't know. We love what we do here.
You guys are one of my top breweries, and this just helped reiterate all of that. Everything I've had here today was just spot on and just exactly what I'm looking for, especially out of fall beers. So thanks again for having us, Derek. It was really great. If any of our listeners are out in the area, you need to stop in Unmapped. It is one of the best breweries in Minnesota. You will not go wrong, and you will not be disappointed for stopping in here. And for more information about what's on Untappd, your web address is
unmappedbrewing.com.
Unmappedbrewing.com.
Yep.
So go to unmappedbrewing.com for more information about what's on tap, and make sure you swing in, because really, you're not going to have a bad choice when you come here.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We love our customers. Don't ever be afraid of asking for me. If you come into Unmapped Brewing and you want to talk to the brewer, just say, hey, is the brewer here? I'd love to talk to customers. I mean, you guys are what make us successful. So,
thank you for joining us on the Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show. Join our Facebook group and let us know what games you want us to review next, and stay up to date on future episodes. The Beer, Bourbon, and Board Game Podcast Show is part of the Beer Pluma Podcast Network. Join Beer Pluma on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Untappd under Beer Pluma to stay up to date on all of our podcast shows. Beer Pluma LLC advocates drinking responsibly and never drink and drive. Thanks again for joining us. Prost.